Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
And welcome to Nighttime Talk on a Monday night with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. First up tonight, social media. It's a breeding ground for bullying, harassment and outright abuse. Is it time for tighter legislation to crack down on online bullies? Should we force social media companies to make it mandatory to submit identification to set up a social media account? Then we'll be talking about masks. We all remember how common they became during the pandemic, but now they're being used to hide identities, making it harder to identify criminals. Should we ban masks in public spaces unless medically necessary? Later on, the kiss that's got everyone talking, Maura Higgins and Danny Jones caught in a drunken clinch. Is it a moment of stupidity enough to end a marriage, or should we be more forgiving? And finally, are you stuck in the wrong job? Catherine Kelly Mason joins us to talk about when to stick it out and when to walk away. Big topics to get through and some strong opinions. I want to hear yours. WhatsApp 087 188 0008. But first up tonight, we're talking about something that comes up time and time again, and this time it has left many parents and teenagers in Wexford deeply distressed, and it is the rise of anonymous social media accounts being used to spread harmful and malicious gossip. Now, this is not an isolated incident, and it is something that does occur nationwide. A local councillor has reached out to us after hearing from young people who have been targeted by online bullying of an extreme nature. Now, this is not just casual name calling or schoolyard teasing. This is harassment, and in some cases, as we know, this kind of online taunting has led to devastating consequences. Now, social media gives people the ability to connect, but it also provides a mask to hide behind. Anonymity can bring out the worst in people, allowing them to spread false rumours and destroy reputations without consequence. We've seen public figures deal with this for years, and now it's our children who are facing it. And the question is, what can be done? Should stricter regulations be put in place? Should social media platforms require identification before allowing people to create accounts? And most importantly, how do we protect young people from the damage that online harassment can cause? I'll be speaking with Councillor Jim Codd in a second to get more details on the situation. And after that, I want to hear from you. Have you or someone you know been affected by online abuse? What do you think the solution is? Let us know on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. Hi, Jim. Thanks for joining us this evening. Now, can you give us some more information on the issue that's occurred?
Good night, AJ, and thank you for having me on, unfortunately, about such a sad subject. But over the last number of days, I've been contacted by parents and teenagers, young teenagers, who are suffering terribly at the hands of online trolls operating behind fake accounts, not identifying themselves, saying the most vile and upsetting, disturbing things to these children. And, you know, bullying once upon a time was something you got away from when you went home from school, you got off the bus. But this can be relentless. It can go on all night now. As I say, without ever an identity being shown from who's doing it. And I think it's about time that TikTok and Facebook were called to account here. If they're allowing these horrendous attacks on young people without monitoring their platforms, they really need to take responsibility. There's a lot of pushing the book around here. But I can tell you that I've spoken to teenagers last week who are really, really upset, and this is really interfering with their life. I wouldn't even repeat some of the stuff that's been said online. And it's a couple of accounts, and one account closes, and another one opens, and the same haunting and hunting of the young people goes on. It's a sick and a cruel thing. It's something that, as a politician, I've seen this all of my political career. But I'm an adult, and I can put up with a certain amount of this. But if this is now seeping into how young people interact, we have a very, very serious problem. It's difficult to know a teenager who can be hunted day and night on social media is a terribly disturbing thing.
Now, I know that you just said there that it used to be a case where if there was bullying going on in school, you know, kids could go home and they have a safe space. They can get away from the name calling or whatever's going on. But now it's following them home. So, I mean, do you have any advice for parents, what to look out for, how to maybe deal with these things that are happening? Because I do know that you are a secondary school teacher as well.
I am, AJ. And, you know, the advice that we give is to tell an adult. Now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but you can tell all the adults you want. This needs to be, but the adults don't know who's writing it. The guards have to take a stand here. These sites have to be investigated, and people have to be called to account. But above all, the platforms must be forced to take a responsibility.
And do you think enough is being done at the moment?
Oh, no, it's not being done.
Nothing?
No, it's not being done. It's not being done. Let's not fool ourselves. I speak every day to young people who have suffered at the hands of these online trolls. The monitoring of social media is very, very weak. It's very, very weak. And the teachers or principals or managers of schools, they have no insight into who's responsible for this unless a child can point them in the right direction. Now, this is a very serious issue that the guards must take a hand in.
As legislators, we have to push
that responsibility is taken by TikTok and Facebook for what goes up on it. You can't wash your hand of the, you know, vile racism, vile homophobia, vile personal attacks that no adult would endure, never mind a 13-year-old child.
And how do you think...
It's quite obscene what I've read during the week.
How do you think moving forward, what do you think needs to be put in place? Because I know with a lot of these platforms now, you can be completely anonymous. You don't have to have your name coming up on anything. The only thing that you need to set up a social media account, essentially, is an email address.
Oh, absolutely. And it promotes this terrible keyboard warrior culture where, as you say, they're anonymous, sitting at home, spewing out poison, no care whatsoever for people's feelings, and not called to account. The guards need to investigate this. I feel very strongly about this. This needs to be a priority for us. I spoke to a child just last week. He was snow white. The child wasn't sleeping when that particular individual came to me and told me this. His parents had been on to me about it as well. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
That's what I was just going to say to you. I mean, it must be causing massive mental health issues amongst the kids who are victim of this.
Oh, massive, because all you need is one tug writing this stuff and it gets under their skin and they start to think that everybody thinks this. Could be the furthest thing from the truth. But it burrows its way into the child's mind. And like, these things can end badly. Everybody knows that. I think we need to have a wake-up call about social media. And we need to have a very grown-up discussion about just how much damage it can do. And how we can't allow that culture to emerge. It's already there amongst with adults, sadly, where your people are working false accounts and are having pot shots at politicians and, you know, hitting below the belt often, but think they're big brave boys because they're not being seen. These people wouldn't have the nerve to say it to you face to face or give you a call and say it, but they're relentless online. But as bad as it is for us adults, the children of 12 and 13, 14, that's too much to burden them with. And we have to really start calling this out. This is a very serious issue to my mind.
I've just had a text in there and somebody said, simple, just block them. But it's not as simple as that, is it, Jim?
Well, it's not, because you see, they close one account and they open another.
And I mean, even if you block them, everybody else is seeing this and it's still going to be heard then in the school or amongst their peers, amongst their friends.
Yes.
So it's really not that simple.
It is. Well, I accept the point about blocking them, but we have to police it. Like, I think there's something fundamentally wrong if if young people are writing vile, abusive things about one, and it's often a pylon where they think it's very funny, where one person suffers the brunt of this. I think as a society we should call that out.
Yeah.
Like that's not an example. We can't okay that because it's cruel and brutish on the child as it encounters it or has to deal with it.
Now, Jim, I've just got Trevor Murphy on the line as well. Now, he's from Cyber School. Hi, Trevor. How are you doing?
Good evening and hello to all your listeners.
Thanks for joining us tonight. So I've just been talking to Jim there. Jim Codd is a counsellor who has seen some really disturbing things this week online to do with online bullying and harassment. And it's people setting up anonymous accounts and then just going in on kids, basically. Now, I haven't seen exactly what it is, but Jim has said that it's so disgusting that he wouldn't even repeat some of the stuff. Now, this is obviously something that you deal with daily. What is your take on this?
Good evening, Jim, a fellow Wexford man.
Good evening, how are you?
Jim, I didn't hear your piece, but we're very aware that it is a growing trend which isn't being addressed, has continuously been allowed away with. My personal view on it, dealing with it, is through education and enforcement of the new law, which is COCO's law, which was about to from 2020. And I think, Jim, it's imperative that we try and get that message out there. And Brendan Howland was involved in that with a very brave lady called Jackie Fox. So that law now has up to 100 prosecutions. As Jim has probably said, the difficulty is finding these fake accounts. But we have to look to social media and make them accountable. And we see only this year that Australia now are looking to have all under-16s banned from social media. And I think that's something that we should look at as a nation as well, to really protect them, because children are developing personally, physically, and mentally, and next thing they're given a phone at 11 years of age. And just to give you a viewpoint on it, we work with a lot of transition year students, and I asked a group of 100 students the other day, if they were 11, would they allow themselves to have a phone? And the answer was no.
Well, that's very interesting, that even at that age they can recognise, you know, how damaging it can be. And they're probably the ones that have really seen what's going on social media. They have much more of an idea than I would.
Well, they're the front line. So I was taken back to not one of them. I asked them, if your sibling was turning 11 tomorrow or 12, would you give them a phone? Would you recommend your parents? And they all said no. So we're actually looking deeper into that to see, through Anonymous, can we actually get to it? Because, as I said, they're the frontline users of it. I think personally it's imperative, again, that each school, primary and post-primary, has some form of programme, whether it's in-house or an external service provider. And as you said, cyberschool.ie and Computing at Schools, we're Wexford-based and we're always there to help any school nationwide. And it's great to see the likes of Jim support this, because it's only through awareness from others. Because as Brendan Howland said, laws are fantastic, but if they're created and left on a shelf, what use are they to us?
That's exactly it. And I just wanted to ask you as well, in your opinion, just in relation to being able to set up anonymous accounts or even comment anonymously on posts, etc., do you think that it's very important that people don't have anonymity online? Because it does seem to, people will say a lot more once they know that their name is not out there.
Well, it's a catch-22, because we're looking at digital rights and freedom, and we're very lucky in Ireland, but on a global scale as well, in some regimes and some countries, it's the only way they have to tell us really what's happening. So there is a double-edged sword to it. But I think that each user should have to submit their ID, and that's not done at the moment. And I see Instagram now are saying an Instagram platform for under-16s. My view is that anyone under 16 really shouldn't be on social media, and they definitely should not be allowed to be on social media without signing up with their ID. And there, after that, we could address the anonymity and the negative sides of it. Last year, again, we see New York City, which should be very interesting to follow, are now suing social media giants such as TikTok and Instagram. So we're following that as well to see what happens, and just hopefully this new government will make a few changes. But I do concur with it. People shouldn't be allowed to post anonymous on certain social media platforms without infringing on human rights as well.
So there's a fine, there's a fine line to find, but it's something that we do obviously really need to look at. In your experience,
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Did you want to say something? Sorry.
Well, I think from a perspective, we're speaking and we're in Ireland, we're protected by Irish laws, and now we have COCO's law since 2020. But we have to understand our children and our citizens that are under 18 are now global digital citizens. And this is what we talk about in education. As soon as they log on, their protection goes away unless they protect themselves. Now, that's very difficult for a 12, 13 or 14-year-old to understand. They think this is a very fun platform. And let's even look back to think that the internet possibly is a combination of inventions, could be the greatest invention ever, and with huge amounts of benefits to us. But I think the negatives are really very prevalent now and are affecting everyone, you know, really affecting society badly.
Yes, so I think
collectively we do have to do something as a country and as a government.
And while you're there, Trevor, well, do you have any advice for young people or for parents who may be victim to this kind of online bullying?
The two pieces of advice I could give. Number one, set family rules. It's never too late, but if you have primary school kids, if you lay down rules, they will abide by them. It's far more difficult with teenagers, such as no double screen time. You know, you can only have so much time on your phone. And we're seeing on average a 16-year-old is now spending 6 to 8 hours a day. And they're from our service, but they're global digital citizens. So when we talk with parents, we say, don't give out to them, but make sure there's a balance in their life and understand what they're doing as well. The other part of it is, well, there's the family rules with 100% without a doubt. And if they're laid down and amended to, and it's education and understanding and explaining to them about COCO's law and the dangers they are. And within those 100, it's quite sad. I know Bernardo's were concerned as well, because under 17s can be prosecutors, and where they might perceive this as just childish bullying. But unfortunately, we've seen in Wexford and other parts of the country that it has led to suicide. So there's great prevalence, and parents can Google a lot of it. And as Jim, I just caught the last piece of Jim speaking there as well. He was saying with some areas he wouldn't like to go into, the very same as I, but there's some harrowing cases now that are coming out. So, yeah, a little bit concerning on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I just want to go back to you there, Jim, just before we, I will have to go to the ads in a couple of minutes. Is there anything else that you want to add to that just after listening to Trevor there?
No, I would concur with what Trevor says about the amount of time spent online, that often teenagers now are living in this parallel online world and are spending less and less time in this one. So the impact of the relentless bullying can be profoundly traumatic. Now, I spoke to a number of young people about this, and they all were able to name the particular site where it's to be found. So it's common knowledge. I think we need to be more proactive in pursuing these particular sites. We can have, and as that man rightly says, you can have whatever laws you like, but if they're not being enforced, and there isn't an awareness about that. The young people don't think they're doing anything wrong here. But we have a responsibility to protect them. And what I've seen during the week is frightening, to say the least. And we all remember bullying. But as I say, it ended when the school bell or you got off the bus. But it can be 24/7 now, which is more than anyone can enjoy.
I think, Jim, I think, guys, as well, I was told a story which really, I think, took me back about the extent. And as Jim said, you know, when we had bullying back in the day, it might have been done in school or on a football field, and it could have been sorted out there and then, and it didn't get legs and walk. And a mother was saying her son was being bullied in secondary school. But the harrowing part for when he went home, the security of his house and his bedroom, it continued through PlayStation.
And that was
a child couldn't even get a reprieve in the safety of his own home. So that's what we're looking at. As well.
Yeah, I mean, it really is chilling. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me. I'm going to open up the phone lines after the break. Thanks, Jim, and thanks, Trevor. Should stricter regulations be in place? Should social media platforms require identification before allowing people to create accounts? And most importantly, how do we protect young people from the damage that online harassment can cause? Have you or someone you know been affected by online abuse? What do you think the solution is? Let us know on WhatsApp. We'll be back after the ads. It's 087-188-0008. We'll be back. To Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. We're asking, should stricter regulations be put in place on social media platforms? Should social media platforms require identification before allowing people to create accounts? And most importantly, how do we protect young people from the damage that online harassment can cause? Have you or someone you know been affected by online abuse? What do you think the solution is? Let us know on WhatsApp 087-188-0008. Before the break, we heard from a local councillor, Jim Codd, who was talking about some really harrowing things that he has seen over the weekend and that he's heard from children in his community who have been the target of online abuse by anonymous pages on, I think, TikTok it is. I'm going to go to John now. Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing, AJ?
Yeah, not too bad.
Evening, Radio Land.
How are you doing, John? So what do you think?
It's my call sign. You see, I have to say that. It's my call sign.
Oh,
yeah, it's my call sign.
Well, welcome to the show, John.
Grand. I'm just listening to rubbish there again.
Rubbish. And how is that?
Yeah, this idea that is, look, it's censorship through the back door when you think about it. I mean, you have the internet being attacked left, right and centre, whether there's good, there's bad on it. You have your previous talk there about putting restrictions and all the rest of it. It is censorship another way through the back door. And again, it's attacking internet companies. And again, it's attacking free speech. And that's where it all boils down to at the end of the day. My second question to that would be, children should not be on the internet under a certain age. And that's the only thing I would agree with. And the fact is, where is these parents, these so-called parents of these children, why aren't they taking responsibility for the kids getting, you know, mad messages online? Why are they even accessing these messages online or these texts online or whatever the case may be? So it comes back down to the parents again, again and again. And you've only got a government there ready too willing to bring in censorship laws, hate speech and all that crap, willing to bring her in on a massive scale in Ireland today. Because that's what's going on today, guys. And this idea that the internet companies are being attacked left, right and centre, it is attacking free speech from Europe, pure and simple. And that's my bottom line on this one.
I do hear what you're saying, John, and I do agree that below a certain age that children shouldn't be on social media. But it's a fact of life at the moment that young kids do have access to the internet and they inevitably will find their way onto social media. And that's what's happening here. And it's trying to protect children rather than taking away people's free speech. Now, Trevor was on before the break and he's actually stayed on the line with us there. So I'm going to bring you back in here, Trevor, because you were talking about finding the happy medium between censorship and freedom of speech.
Yes,
there is no happy medium.
John, just let Trevor talk there.
I think on certain platforms, and I'm sure there is a solution to it, if all the great minds that we have on this planet get together. And we're present.
Oh, here we go again.
John, let Trevor talk.
Web 1 to Web 2. Web 2 is quite centralised and controlled by companies, more so than what Tim Berners-Lee envisaged, as all of us partaken freely. I don't know that gentleman's name, and I totally agree with
John.
Free speech.
It's John.
John, I totally agree with free speech, John, and I wouldn't like to see it being squashed. I'm very aware of regimes all around the world where the internet is the only way for us to actually know truthfully what's going on. And I think that's another great problem we have of misinformation, which is a great cause. So I hope the powers that be can come to some solution. I think Councillor Codd was on about kids and kids getting harassed. And I think that's different than stopping free speech. And I think we really need to protect them whilst agreeing with John that what are children of a certain age being allowed unmanned with a phone, as I said to parents. When you give a child a phone, you're giving them an adult device with no restrictions.
The point of free speech. What's your name?
Trevor.
The point of free speech today, Trevor, is you don't interfere with free speech. Whether you like it, dislike it. The only thing I'll agree with is no kid under the age of, let's say, 13 or whatever. No, actually, 15, I think, is more. under their age should not be on the internet. It should not be on a smartphone. That's the only thing I'll agree with. Anything after that, you never, ever, as a society, interfere with free speech, whether you like it, lump it, or hate it. Free speech is fundamental to the human existence today. And anybody who thinks that they can control people's speech is sadly mistaken. And this idea of misinformation, you look at the government today, they're putting out misinformation. You look at RT News, they're putting out misinformation. You look at Europe today, the UN and the EU, they're massively putting out misinformation. So at the end of the day, this idea of misinformation is not just one-sided. It's both-sided.
The whole thing about it is, were you told that the misinformation is coming from, and is it misinformation? And this is the conundrum. I think I was asked for perspective of coming on and discussing about bullying and harassment online with respect to kids. So I'm more into staying within that platform during this conversation, because the other conversation
because again,
is
you don't like
broader.
The wider conversation. That's why.
No, because John, that is the conversation that we're having. We're talking about young people suffering harassment online.
The point is, free speech is something nobody can tell you can control. You own your voice, whether people like your voice or they hate. My voice is never liked, but I can tell you one thing. I still own my own voice. I own my own thoughts. I own my own words. When we get down to a world, or as you call it, a world, and we're all together, we're not all together in this. This is woke shit just go on with. The fact of the matter is, when you go on about free speech being curtailed, that is somebody saying, you know what, I don't like what you're saying, so I'm going to stop you from speaking. The fact is, it's a fundamental, and I'm saying this now clear, it's a fundamental right to have your constitutional free speech today, whether you like it, whether, you know, Martin likes it, or the EU likes it, or anybody else likes it. You have a fundamental right to free speech, whether anybody likes it or not. Now, the fact is, he can be challenged on it. Not put in prison, he can be challenged. But the fact of the matter is, we're not going that road. We're coming over a blanket ban now where people's free speech is being shut down left, right and centre because the likes of Harris and Martin doesn't like it. Europe doesn't like it. I mean, the American president, the great President Trump today, has come into power. He's brought back free speech to the American people because up to that stage, they couldn't say boo without being told, oh, you're this, you're that, or the other. The fact of the matter is, I will bring you back to one point, Trevor. The fact is, children are the responsibility of the parents. It's the responsibility of the parents to keep children safe from the internet if they deem it to be unsafe. The fact of the matter is, it does not affect the rest of society.
Without a doubt, and I know from parents, I'm working in the educational sector, that it's heartbreaking and harrowing for a lot of parents being pressurised into giving their child going into post-primary school at 13 a phone, their first phone. They're very nervous, and I know there's WhatsApp groups in certain schools where they're asking them not give in to that pressure. So I'm agreeing on both.
So to respond, the problem is the parents. But Trevor, here's the point. The problem with this issue, as you rightly outlined there, is not with the people of Ireland today. It's not with free speech. It's not with internet companies. It's not with any of that. It's with parents not having the balls to stand up and say to that kid, sorry, Johnny, Mary, you are not getting that iPhone. You're not getting it. You're going to get a simple phone that you can ring me, you can text me, and that's it. And if more parents stood up and done that, we wouldn't be having these ridiculous censorship conversations today or even going forward. And that's
the
way I look at it.
Stay with me there, John. I've just
got
Stephen on the line. I'm going to go to Stephen. Stephen, you think that we should have things in place?
Absolutely. We should be held accountable for what we say and do in public forums, whether in person or on the radio or on the television or online. We should be held responsible. I have to submit a valid photo identification once a year to Revolut to verify my account and verify my identity. If I don't, the account gets blocked. You know, so we've been talking about, you know, requiring proof of ID on social media and other platforms for 10 years now at least. And it should be one of those things that should be, you know, I submitted to Facebook Instagram or somebody like, hang on a second, I'm still speaking.
Yeah, I know, and you're talking shit.
John, watch your language, please.
We should be able to. We should be able. To, we should be required. Hang on a second. We should be required to submit it. It sits in a secure server. That's the word I was looking for. And that's it. If then somebody goes. If John goes to the guards and tells them that, you know, I said something extremely defamatory for him or anything like that, the guards can petition Facebook to get my information and follow me and press charges that way.
No. The point is, Stephen, at the end of the day, you have people out there now who are going on. Years ago, I grew up in the 1980s, right? I'll give you, for instance, here. I grew up in the 1980s where you got slagged for this, you got slagged for that. Do you know what you did? You got on with it.
Yeah,
you
but
moved forward.
Didn't then
you
go home, John. John, you didn't then go home and the bullying continue. You know, it's completely different. It's harrowing to think of what's going on now.
Yeah, but AJ, turn off your phone. That, you know, there is an off button on your phone, on your television, anywhere else. And this idea that people are held responsible for their thoughts or whatever, their voice or their speech, whatever they're saying. The fact of the matter is, your free speech is your free speech. Whether you like it or not, it's your constitutional right and it's
your free speech
today.
Does not come with freedom from responsibilities for what you do. If I went and punched you in the face, my freedom of expression. Yeah. I'm still going to be done for assault.
The point of the power is, Stephen, you have a right. If somebody said to you said something to you tonight in the show that mm-hmm. you didn't like, you have a right to chastise them and say, I don't agree with it. But this idea of bringing in bans and bringing in censorship through the back door, no way. You leave speech alone. If you don't like what somebody said, do what I do. Walk up and have a discussion with them. You don't need government legislation.
But these are kids that we're talking about, John. John, these are kids that we're talking about. We're talking about online harassment, and it's younger people that this is happening to.
It's the same with a kid. The fact is, the parents are the ultimate responsibility here is with the parents, and I don't care. And Stephen could come on and give us gobble all be legs.
I'm inclined to agree with you. The responsibility is with the parents.
Whenever
I have a child, they will not be getting a phone or access to the internet or anything like that without supervision, unless I say so, until I decide that they've reached a decent age to be able to understand it. And of course, I will be having discussions with my child that not everything that gets said online, not everything that you see online, is actually true. You know, and of course, sticks and stones and things.
Stephen,
I grew up in the
90s. So
I was bullied in the 90s and the noughties all the way through primary and secondary school. It's kind of a rite of passage. It's a disgusting rite of passage, but it is a rite of passage at the end of the day. But I can't then, you know, turn my phone off one night and then wake up in the morning. Everything that is said is still going to be there. Every time I go into school or every time I go into a place of public that somebody has seen, whatever somebody has said about me, it's always going to be there. And now that it's online, it is there in perpetuity. You might as well put a billboard up in O'Connell Street with it.
The fact is, Stephen, if you're insecure about yourself, that's your problem. It's not society's. The fact is, I grew up in the 1980s where you were slagged left, right, and center. If I had taken every insult going forward, I would be in an asylum today. In a nice little straitjacket.
Probably
because
a lot
at the
of
end of the day, you
and
have
I'm so
to
glad
move
that
forward
the bullying that you endured toughened you up to the point where you now have no sympathy or empathy for anybody.
Oh, no, I just don't. The fact of the matter, if somebody
this
says
this is not
about
censorship.
You,
this is about purely holding somebody accountable for what they did.
Oh, Stephen, believe you and me, it is about censorship. Whether
if you want
like
to call
not,
it censorship, you might as well,
here.
But it's not.
That
it's
is
not
the bottom line here. It's EU censorship through the back door. And I will not shy away from saying that. The fact
Here's
is,
the other
if
thing
you're
that
insecure
needs to be kept
about
in
yourself,
mind.
That is not society's fault.
I'm not insecure.
That is your fault.
If I was insecure, I would not be having this conversation. I am
well, the
perfectly
fact of the matter
secure
is,
in
you
myself.
You said that things body it, that people say something to you that, you know, bothers you. That says to me insecurity. The fact is, if you're secure within your own self, you wouldn't give a shit what people say to you.
What it
you
should
care.
Say to you is that if somebody wrote a disgusting article about you, insinuating and inferring all different kinds of things,
I have read it several times because somebody has written stuff about me.
And I have read it several times. I have reported it several times. And
did you have that article out with the person who wrote it? Did you actually contact them and say, right, what's this shit about?
I did, and they refused to engage with me.
And why did he refuse to engage with you?
For the same reason they didn't offer me a right of reply before they published it.
They didn't offer... And did you voluntarily, you know, agree to this article being written?
No, I didn't know it was written until a national newspaper contacted me about it.
Right. Well,
didn't
Stephen,
actually contact me, contacted my employer.
That's your own business, to be honest. I don't want to go that road, because it's not fair on you, number one, and that's your own business. But what I would have said to you there, Stephen, was simply you got in contact again through a solicitor, obviously. Whoever
I
this
did go through
was,
a solicitor, and they still did not engage.
Yeah, obviously, they should have been able to contact this person to say, okay, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? What's the idea behind this article?
Mm-hmm.
You would have got some sort of relief over that way, legal relief over that way. So what I would suggest to you, Stephen, again, is to go back and get another solicitor, maybe this time a better one, that mm-hmm. might be able to say to this person, whoever is, what's this article about?
I think, in fairness to what the point was, and AJ was saying, I think it is back down to teenagers and children, and you're talking about
it's down
per,
it's
there.
Down to per, it's I down think, to parents.
Just
it's
hold on there,
parents.
John. Trevor, go ahead.
I think it is, and it's about setting rules and regulations, and it's very difficult for a parent, and let's be honest as well, when the child is coming in, and parents have said this to me, they're saying, I'm the only one in the class, Dad. I'm the only one in the class. So that in itself can bring bullying and exclusion out of it. So it's a quite sensitive area, and as I said, we see now with Australia, at least they're being proactive as a government. They're not censoring anyone, they're not telling anyone
they're
not
to being proactive.
But they're laying down laws. They're laying down laws to protect minors and youths. That's what they're laying down laws. And I think that's
Trevor,
what our government should
do. Trevor, the fact is, Australian otherwise, the fact is, this gets my goat, this argument all the time. The fact is, Australia and any other country that's bringing in censorship laws, X, Y, and Z, on free speech and the whole thing. The fact is, this whole idea of the internet and children being on the online today goes back to the fundamentals of the parents' failure straight away. And you did raise a point there about, oh, it might be one child in the class that doesn't have a phone and the rest do. Poof. The fact of the matter
but John,
is, if you're a decent parent...
It's a difficult situation
for parents to be in.
The other
fact of the matter to consider, though, is...
Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah.
No, but the point is...
No,
parents
Stephen,
can't be...
You know, Stephen,
go ahead. Hang on, John.
You
know,
John, just let Stephen
parent,
talk there.
If you're a decent parent, you would make sure that your child has a phone that they're not being, you know, getting ridiculous messages or horrible messages on. You get them a simple phone that they can text and phone.
Okay,
that's
John, just let Stephen
phone.
Talk
the
there just before, because I'm going to have to go to the ads in a second. Just let Stephen get his thing in there, then we'll go back to Trevor, and then we're going to go to the ads. Stephen, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree with you on having a simple phone, absolutely. But the fundamental point of the matter is that parents can't be with their children 24 hours a day, never mind in cyberspace. The other fundamental point of the matter is that every social media platform is a publisher and should be legally treated as a publisher. If they were legally treated as publishers, they would be bound to monitor and regulate everything that is posted online.
No, I disagree.
That is what they should be. That they should. Well,
no, they shouldn't.
I have yet to hear a good reason as to why not.
Well, the fact of the matter is that if the publisher is you, if I send you a text message now saying, "Oh, I don't like Steve, and he's talking rubbish, talking shite." The fact
is,
but
if I send a text or an email to the Irish Times and they publish it, they are responsible for deciding whether or not to publish it or not. I can write as many different things as I want.
They're there to facilitate
the internet. And Facebook is there to facilitate the publication of it.
No,
okay, guys, just let me quickly go back to Trevor before we go to the ads. Trevor, do you have anything you want to add before I go to the break?
The only thing I would say, from my perspective, education is key for the kids and for the parents. It's about us growing together, getting stronger, because this landscape is continuously evolving. So presently, no one is right or wrong, and we need to figure it out together. That's my viewpoint. Education is key. Keep on need to talk to all parties that are involved and stakeholders, and hopefully find a nice solution that will keep our kids safe.
That's great. Thank you so much for that, Trevor. Thank you for joining me. I'm just going to read out a message that I've got in. It says, "Hi, AJ. The long-term solution is to make it illegal to give children smartphones before the age of 16 at least. You can't blame the parents. They're under huge pressure in the meantime. Teach them about the dangers involved. In the short-term solution is that passport identification is required for all social media except in countries where free speech is repressed. That caller is way off the mark and is paranoid. We're not talking about free speech. We're talking about anonymous free speech. There is an important difference." If you do want to get in touch about this, WhatsApp 087-188-0008. I have to go to the ads and we'll be back after this. Tonight I'm talking with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan tonight. Now, we're talking about online bullying. Should stricter regulations be put in place? Should social media platforms require identification before allowing people to create accounts? Because a lot of this online harassment is going on from anonymous accounts. And most importantly, how do we protect young people from the damage that online harassment can cause? Now, before the break, we were talking to Trevor and he was talking about in Australia, they're banning under 16s. Would that be something that we should do here? John is feeling very strongly about not removing his freedom of speech, which I don't think is the issue here. I don't think that that's the issue, the point at all. I've got a message in here for Stephen. Stephen, it says, "Please let me address Stephen's point. He is comparing a financial site with social media. They are not comparable." So that was going back to you saying about Revolut requires you to update your ID with them and sort of saying that social media sites should do the same. What do you say to that?
Well, I think anyone who's interacting in an internet sphere should be required to have some identification to prove who they are. Whether or not that gets published would be up to me then. Like, if I wanted my name and my picture to be on my profile.
But it's just about being able to trace it back to the right person.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
if you were because then going to go on and be abusive online, then at least you could be traced. Whereas now it's all you need is an email address.
Yeah. Exactly. Whereas I can set up an email address in any country in the world if I wanted. You know, I there's no way of tracking me down. So, because if I don't update my Revolut, then I can't do any transactions on it. And if I can't verify who I am, I shouldn't be allowed into an internet town square, which is not a town square anymore. It used to be that you could just, you know, hear somebody ranting on a bench about something or other, or, you know, inciting revolution or votes for women and things like that, and walk past them or sit and agree with them, one or the other. This is what social media used to be or was envisaged to be. It's now a place for anyone to go there and say whatever they like with complete and utter anonymity.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, I'm going to go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer, how are you doing?
Hi, AJ. Not too bad in yourself. Listen,
yeah.
I have four young kids, as you've already known. But I like that. I have a 16-year-old and she's in TY and I have a second year and she's second year. And I've also got 11-year-old. Obviously, the 11-year-old is not allowed a phone. But here you go again. Like my 16-year-old now, one of her best friends like that is getting cyberbullied. And I've got relationships with my daughter. And it's like that, like her best friend now is starting to self-harm herself. Because
this is what it leads to, Jennifer. This is what it leads to. It's so shocking how it affects people's mental health and young people. I don't know if you heard Trevor before the break there. He said that they actually did a survey amongst transition year students. And they said, if you had an 11-year-old sibling, would you give them a phone and access to social media? And all of the transition year students said
definitely
no, that they wouldn't.
Won't.
And that's because they know the dangers and they know the what it's causing.
Yes, that's right. Because like even like my little 11-year-old, she's never allowed a phone. Like you know yourself, and it's like that Snapchat. Like, and look how dangerous Snapchat is. And Snapchat, you can't even get the messages back because they disappear within a second. Do you know what I mean?
So Snapchat is well known for because of the disappearing messages. Yeah, absolutely.
And like that now. And then two girls now. They're in a secondary school. And like that, they actually have iPads. And when we signed up to get the iPads, we had to buy this device now, saying that they have to block Facebook and you have to block all these social media sites for them. And see, and then what happens is they come home with their phones and then they're looking at their phones from 4 o'clock until 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. And, like, nobody knows what's going on their phones, because, like, you try and ask them to have a look at your phone. Oh, no, well, like, oh, you can have a look tomorrow. And it's, and I actually know the passwords of them kids' phones. But, like, that, there's no way that my 16-year-old or my 14-year-old will be is allowed Facebook or Instagram or anything like that, because it's too dangerous. You don't even know who they're even talking to, or pictures being shared and all that. Do you know that kind of a way? And cyberbullying is the worst thing you can actually do.
And the thing is, Jennifer, as well, a lot of the cyberbullying that's going on is with people that is from people that they know. But it's because they're able to go on and create anonymous accounts that they're then just going on and like it, the abuse is terrible. But it's people they know. Oh. It's not strangers, you know. So it's like the yes, there's stranger danger, of course, online, but it's also people they know. It's kids in their class.
Yes, and it could be in their class. It could be in, like, the teacher or the class before them. Or it could be in the you know, it could be 5th year starting on the 4th year, if you know what I mean. And that's how it all starts, you know. And like that now, her parents now are worried about her.
Yeah, of course.
Like, bullying. And like that, you know, she's been, you know, and she, you know, they have to take the radios and all out of the house and all, because she's self-harming so much. And it's terrible, like, to think that, like, you never know what goes on, like, you know, that kind of a way.
Hopefully she's, you know, getting some help and they're able to...
Yeah, well, in their school now, they have a, you know, guidance counsellors and stuff like that, so which is great. So she's taken out of class twice a week, and that's what it's terrible. You know, and like, I agree with you know, the pocket phones, what they take off and during the school hours. I agree with that. Do you know what I mean? But unfortunately, it actually happens outside the school, and when they're on the phones all the time, and that's when the trouble starts.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just for these young minds, it's really, really upsetting to think that that's happening, because as an adult, it's difficult enough to deal with, never mind when you're a child, especially at a transitional time of life, you know, when you're going from primary school into secondary school. Let me just go to Sharon. I've got Sharon waiting patiently on the line. Hi, Sharon, how are you doing?
Hi, AJ. Good, thank you.
So what do you think? Do you think that we need the social media companies to take more action on this, or do you think that that's an invasion of free speech?
I think they do need to take some responsibility, and the parents also need to take responsibility, because there are some parents that monitor their kids very well, and there are some, as we know, that just let them have what they want all the time. These stupid, crazy bikes they're going around on, you know, that are dangerous as hell, and the phones are dangerous as hell too. And the kids under 16 should be just have a phone that doesn't have internet. You know,
yeah. Are these phones
you're
like
them the world? When you hand them a phone, you're handing them the world. They're not able for the world at that age.
I mean, is there? You know? There's another thing as well. Like, I mean, if they do have a social media account, let's say when they get to 16 years of age, there should be something where we could have like a family thing, you know, where you have access to their social media account. They can only make a social media account under your account or something like that. There has to be some other things that we can bring in to try and protect kids so we can see what's going on, see their activity online. I know there's a lot of parent family links and that, but there's none for the actual social media accounts. So when they're off on Snapchat or Facebook, you can't see what's going on unless you physically pick up their phone and are able to log in.
Yeah, exactly. That all needs to be stopped, AJ, because I know where it can lead. You know, I have a, thank God, 28-year-old now, but I remember being really worried when she was younger, you know.
I think all parents are petrified at the moment.
Yeah, and there are lots of parents that take responsibility and there are lots that don't. So, for example, if you're being a responsible parent about your child and their phone, it's no good if they go down the road to someone else's house and they're allowed to see everything and be interactive on the phone. So parents need to get together, and there needs to be... Look, some parents will never take responsibility, no matter what you say to them. I don't know whether it's through lack of intelligence or whether they don't care, or what it is. So
I mean, that's
I don't
a good point to raise there, Sharon, because even if, like, let's say one child doesn't have a smartphone, their friend will have a smartphone and be showing them stuff. You know, so it's they're going to see stuff either way. And even if they're not online, they're not on social media, but somebody could be talking about them on social media, and they will see it. Someone will show them. Someone in the classroom will show them. They're not going to be completely protected from it. I'm just going to go to Martin. Hi, Martin. How are you?
I'm well, even. Well, this evening, AJ. Good evening.
So, what's your take on this?
Right. My take on this is, I would not, now I'm long past young children, but if I had young children today, I would not allow them to have a smartphone. Very simple. It's not just social media. Social media and the internet generally is a sewer. I wouldn't allow my child to go wading around in a sewer. It's dangerous. Now, Mark Zuckerberg himself, in front of a congressional inquiry, said that he does not and would not allow his children to use his own social media platform. He said that quite openly, until they'd be well into their teens, by which time you can be guaranteed that their accounts would be protected and watched, you know, to be watched by hawks that would make sure nothing gets through to them that might be in any way distressing. I think if parents don't have the gumption and the wherewithal to just say to their child, no, I'm sorry, you can't have that. I don't care how many children in your class have smartphones. You're not having one. If every child in the class was being given alcohol or hallucinogenic drugs to take into school, I wouldn't give my child those things to take into school. I don't care what kind of peer pressure would be brought to them. I wouldn't allow it. Because I don't do social media at all. I think it's nonsense. I think it's just drivel. But I know what goes on it. I know the stresses, and I understand people. You know, parents, they feel pressured. Oh, we have to give our child a smartphone. But I would certainly, where I would start would be, and I wouldn't be going out buying a Faraday case purses for phones, when all that has to be done is make sure that every phone is handed in. Any child that has a phone, it's handed in the morning at a school. I would ban all phones from schools. All mobile phones for children under 16. When I went to school, there were no mobile phones. If your parents needed to contact the school, they could contact the school if there was an emergency. Or if the school needed to contact the parents, they could contact the parents if there was an emergency. I think it's all nonsense. I agree that it is a step towards, it's a step towards making sure it's just railing people in. It is censorship.
So do you not think that people should have to, I know you're not on social media or that, but do you not think that people should have to have identification to set up a social media account, so at least that the accounts can be traced back to people, rather than at the moment all you need is an email address?
No, because Stephen was making a comparison between the Irish Times, between a newspaper and social media. At the same time, the people who provide phones, they provide a phone so that you can make telephone calls. I don't have to give identification to make a telephone call, yet I could ring and I could make a threatening telephone call to anyone. It's not credible to imagine that people should be forced to give identification. It's different. If you're signing up for a site where you're buying things or you're moving funds around the place, yes, of course you have to give identification, because at the end of the day, you know, there's money laundering, all those things go on. It comes to the fundamental point here, and people are just overlooking it and skimming around it. The elephant in the room here is parental responsibility. And that's where it stands. That's where it is. If you have to give your child a phone, you know, people argue, oh, well, if they need to get in touch with me in an emergency, fine, give them just a dumb phone, a phone that they can send a text, they can make a call. That's it. You know, or at the very least, when you're purchasing a smartphone or a smart device for your child, go in, pay the extra few pounds to whatever provider you're going to, whoever's going to provide you with that device, to have them set up and explain all the parental controls you can have so that you can stop your children going onto social media or setting up social media accounts or watching pornography or violent, you know, extreme violence online. I mean, it's not just social media. The whole thing is a cesspit. It's a sewer. Why? I don't understand why any parent would want their child to have availability to that. And that's just, it blows my mind that people would do that, that people would endanger their children in such a way. I'm blown by it. I really am. My mind is blown by it that parents will do that.
I'm going to have to go to the news now. I just want to, Stephen, do you have anything else to say just before I go to the news?
Just if you or I or anyone made a phone call, and a threatening phone call, our GPS would be pinged and people would be able to find us with CCTV and things like that. It would be a way of tracking.
No. Hold on, Stephen.
Stephen,
hang on for a second. I'm an intelligent man. If I wanted to make a harassing phone call, I can go out and I can buy a no-account phone. It's a pay-as-you-go phone, and I can go to somewhere where there's no CCTV, no nothing.
But you really have to go out of your way to do that, Martin. We're just talking about you can log on and set up a Facebook account and go off and say whatever you want.
Sorry, but the principle remains the same. The principle in law remains the same.
The principle remains the same that if anyone bullies somebody or if anyone harasses somebody, they are legally bound for the actions that they have done. Everything that they say and everything that they did, they are legally responsible for. And that's what we're talking about. I'm not criticizing somebody who's a parent or anything like that for their parenting skills or their decisions. At the end of the day, bullying is bullying and harassing is harassing and threatening is threatening, and you are legally responsible for it.
Sorry, Sharon, you wanted to come in there?
I just think there needs to be... There just needs to be a whole societal change. It won't work unless there's a whole society is involved.
Agreed.
Parents, teachers, government, all of them.
I totally agree, Sharon. Absolutely. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm going to have to go to...
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.